All right, I want to welcome you to another episode of Front Row Material. My name is Mike Freeland, soon to be joined by my brother from another mother. He's in Canada. His name is Christopher Butt. Just recently celebrated a birthday, so we'll talk about that. Also joining us is Ref Nick Papa G. And a little later on, we're going to be joined by the legend himself, referee Jim Molyneux from ECW. Let me bring the guys in here. So many things are going on right now in wrestling, and WrestleMania is going to be in Philadelphia. I don't know if you guys heard the big news that good old Paul Heyman, he's going to be an inductee into the Hall of Fame. Let me first throw it to you, Butster. What's your thoughts about Paul Heyman finally getting enshrined in the WWE Hall of Fame?
This was a no-brainer. I mean, come on. He deserves it. Look what he did with ECW. He was around long before ECW. He's a brilliant man. He's a great mind. Might not be the greatest businessman, but he's a great wrestling mind. And look what he's doing in WWE now. Just fantastic. He is an easy top five manager of all time. You can't even argue that. Nobody in the right mind can argue it anyhow.
He definitely
deserves to be in. And it's in Philadelphia. It's perfect.
Nick, let me ask you this question. What's your take on it? Do you think it was a foregone conclusion we were going to see some version of ECW getting into the Hall of Fame with it being in Philly this year?
Oh, there was no doubt about it. I'm like, it's, if it wasn't Heyman, I'm like, I can't really, like, there might be a couple, maybe like Dreamer, I know he's contracted with Impact or something, but someone like Heyman, I'm like, that was literally a no-brainer. I'm like, I know he was asked, previous years, but I'm like, you can't get any bigger than this. I'm like, this is probably, it's probably a big headliner that we haven't had in a while, really, since what, maybe The Undertaker, as far as like a headliner and stuff like that. Heyman's going to be, as long as they can, Peacock keeps it uncensored and stuff like that, Heyman can talk, that's going to be a speech for the ages, as long as they let him be himself, a little bit of out of character, a little bit, give him let him be the ECW Heyman, that we all know from like Beyond the Mat and stuff like that.
No, I agree with you completely on that. I think if he is able to be Paulie dangerously, I think that's going to be a good thing. I think we might get a combination of both, right? In character, and maybe a little bit of genuineness out of Paul. But I guess the biggest question right now, you guys, and I want to have you guys debate this, is who do you think rightfully should induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame? And what would the reason for why be?
Ooh, Herb Abrams.
Dig him up. Dig up Herb. if he's
already Herb dead. And his coked up body. Yeah.
And his cowboy boots. Who did he buy it from? Gordon. Todd Gordon. He bought ECW from, didn't he? Wasn't that?
I believe he did, yeah. I think he took over from him.
Him?
So I'm wondering, should it be, it's a really good thing. I mean, Todd should definitely be in the consideration, but I think what Nick said before, you can't go any better than Tommy to really, if it was possible to induct him.
There was that. I'm like, I've heard people were like, have it like Steve Austin doing it. If you want like the, you want the name, my thing, I'm like, if you can actually find him, I'm like, I know he's big with, big being, Christian and stuff like that. But, even Joey Styles, there's another one, yes. He hasn't been around for years, stuff like that. I don't know if he had a real bad falling out with the company back, whenever the hell that was when he was doing commentary for Raw back in the day. Was it 2009, 2010? Something like that. I can't even remember, actually. Maybe even longer than that.
Joey Styles, great call. Never thought of him. Tommy would be great.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's realistic with him being signed to Impact. However, there seems to be a little bit of a relationship there now, so you might be able to pull it off. I'd be okay with him. I mean, Tommy Dreamer's fantastic.
Yeah.
And good person, too. Like, you never heard nobody say nothing bad about Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so if it wouldn't be Todd, it wouldn't be Tommy, would you I mean, who would you even, who would be next? I mean, Taz? I mean, he's AEW. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You would never pick the Sandman. That wouldn't happen.
That'd be great. Get him all tanked up and let him loose. Oh, buddy.
I'll be that fucking catering somewhere.
Yeah. Rolling on out with his cooler full of vodka and orange juice.
Oh, good Lord.
What about Bubba? He's still in good graces with WWE, I believe. He's a legend, ECW legend, WWE legend, name value.
And he's not contracted with anybody, so.
Yeah, he's a free agent as well right now.
Not under a legends contract with WWE?
It's a good question.
Him and D-Von might be. I have no idea, actually, to be honest with you.
Right. And Shane Douglas, I don't know. He's not on the greatest terms with WWE. I can't see that happening.
Well, just today they started throwing out some names, and one name they threw out, believe it or not, was Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock is not somebody who I would think is a good orator.
Just with the current climate, it is not going to be Brock.
Right.
That I can guarantee you.
It's a shame Terry Funk's not with us anymore. I think Terry Funk would have been a really good pick as well. So it'll be interesting to find out who they end up picking. Now, let me ask you, do you guys think they're going to announce any other ECW people or names or anything like that into the Hall of Fame, or do you think they're just going to get that one?
I think it'll just be Paul. Yeah, I don't think anybody else at this time, you know, would just be overshadowed. You know, really, that, with him going in.
Unless they did all ECW.
Yeah, unless they did as a company or something like that, man.
You know, anybody getting inducted this year wasn't ECW. That I could see is a stretch, but that's the only thing that would make sense right now. Because you got to think, come next year, ECW is not going to get any consideration.
Oh, God.
In the Hall of Fame. So this is their chance. Right? It's Philly. You know, they are loved. In 40 years' time, they will still be loved in Philly.
Yep.
This is your place to do it. Nowhere else. So it might be a stretch, but if you just went with the Hall of Fame this year was just people from ECW, it's your chance. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but if you don't get in now, you're probably not getting in, with the exception of Tommy. That'll be it.
Well, it'll be interesting to find out who they do choose to induct, Paul. I know there have been some rumors about other people who may go into the Hall of Fame as well. Have you guys heard any scuttlebutt about that?
No? The only thing I saw was like Haku, Haku, Ming, whatever you refer to him as.
I was going to say I saw Haku as well. I guess I'm at the point here with the Hall of Fame, and correct me if I'm wrong here. Tell me if I'm out of line, but I almost feel like sometimes they grab for straws. And I'm not trying to put down Ming or, Haku or whatever his career, but I mean, at what point do we say we need to be kind of more specific or more exclusive about who we're picking, or do you think at the end of the day it's just another show theoretically?
Well, it is a show. It's not a real Hall of Fame. It's not like the MLB Hall of Fame where you have umpteen people voting on it, or any legitimate Hall of Fame. It's not what it is. Right. It's a pissing contest, basically. So it's never going to be taken seriously. Hell, there's not even a real Hall of Fame.
Yeah, not yet. I know that
WWE Hall of Fame. Years. Where is it? Well, I don't know.
Stanford.
Yeah, it's on WWE.com. That's where the Hall. Well, I'm not being a smartass.
No, not by any means.
That's a fact.
Yeah,
that's the way it is. In all reality, is Ming a Hall of Famer? Probably not. Let's be honest. He's probably not. He was never that popular. I mean, he won King of the Ring. When he was with him and Barbarian, they were super over, but they were never champions. They're not in the same category as a British Bulldogs or Heart Foundation or Legion of Doom or nothing like that. They don't measure up there. But if you consider who's in the Hall of Fame, is he on the same level as Hillbilly Jim? Coco Beware? Maybe. Junkyard Dog? He was a bigger deal in WWE than Junkyard Dog ever was.
Yeah, but Junkyard Dog did a lot of things in other territories before he actually ended up going to WWE. I mean, he was big in Mid-South. He was big. Oh, my gosh, I'm trying to think of the other area. He was super, super big. And he was big in Florida as well, but he was big in Memphis as well. So he did a lot of things. So I think JYD was more of a journeyman that, you know, just ended, for the most part, his career in the WWE. But I think definitely as a wrestling perspective, he definitely deserves it. And I think they've actually shown that it's not just guys who are born and bred in WWE that they're willing to open the doors for, because they've did other things as well. I mean, I think Antonio Inoki is in there as well. And so I think that that definitely makes sense. The Great Muta, I believe, is also in the WWE Hall of Fame. To my knowledge, I never saw Muta on WWE programming ever. So it seems like they're a little bit more open to some options here, but yeah, Paul Heyman. Now, I was reading something here, a comment from somebody, and they had said that the reason why Haku may go in is because of, and I did not know this, any relation to the Rocks family? If he's some type of relative?
I never heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine there. I know that family's very, very big and stuff like that. I don't know where he branches out into.
Right. Well,
were they not pushing to get Rikishi in?
They were. So, okay, Nick, let me ask you this. Rikishi, Hall of Famer in your opinion?
He was a big character back in the Attitude Era and stuff like that. You know, Hall of Fame. I'm like, you know, what defines Hall of Fame nowadays, you know, really, to be honest with you. You know, I'm not knocking anybody by any means. You know, just like what qualifies as Hall of Fame, you know, material. Is it like, you know, 10-time world champion, or, you know, I know he held the IC title a bunch of times, you know, back in that day. You know, if he won it like 3-4 times or something like that, I guess as good as mine.
Yeah.
You know, I know he was around, you know, what was he back in, like, what, 96 when he did the
Sultan?
Oh, actually, he was doing Sultan. Yeah, he was even before that. It was like 96, 97 then, give or take. I know he did that, and he did the Making a Difference Fatu, you know, character. I remember that one, you know, and obviously, you know, the stuff with Too Cool back in the day.
Which was over. It was fun. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Well, is it Hall of Fame?
Yeah, over? I don't know what defines it anymore, to really be honest with you.
That's true.
Let me ask you this question then for both of you. So let's say not Rikishi by himself. What about, I mean, he was part of the Head Shrinkers as well, so let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Would you put the Head Shrinkers as a tag team? Absolutely.
Like Samu and Fatu, yeah.
Yeah, the original Head Shrinkers, but Rikishi's not one of them.
He's a Head Shrinker. Yes, he is.
It was Fatu. They just spelled his name differently in the Attitude Era. I think it was, P-H-A-T-U, whatever that was.
I think so.
Yeah, but go with the lingo at that time.
Let's see here.
Head Shrinkers, really?
Yeah, so his name is Solofa Fatu Jr. He was part of the Samoan SWAT team from 86 to 92. And then obviously when he came into the WWE, he was part of the Head Shrinkers, which was managed by, it was Afa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, who was Afa then? Like, were they not the Head Shrinkers?
Afa was their manager.
I don't mean...
He was the Samoans.
You know what I mean? The Wild Samoans. Never
mind. Wild Samoans.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was even before the Head Shrinkers, yeah.
I know.
The early 80s. Was that late 70s, maybe early 80s?
I think it was late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. You're right.
I was born in 79. Give me a break now.
I was born 81, so don't feel bad.
So if I'm looking here at his credentials, okay, here we go. Now, this is his credentials completely. He was a Canadian international TV champion one time with Loot International. I've never heard
Montreal.
Of
Montreal.
Yeah.
Northern States Wrestling Alliance, the NSWA Tag Team Champions with Samu. Portland Wrestling, obviously back when they, I guess, still had some territories. He was a one-time heavyweight champion. Pro Wrestling Illustrated ranked him, God, in 2003 as number 347 out of the top 500. Yeah. What else did he do? Universal Wrestling Association, the UWA. He was a trios champion one time. He was the WCWA Texas Tag Team Champion with Samu. Let's see what he did in WWE. I know there were tag champions. Okay, he was a two-time WWF Tag Team Champion, a one-time Intercontinental
champion. I thought he was actually more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably held a hardcore title, too.
I mean, I think everyone did.
True.
He won a Slammy, if that means anything.
For what?
That's the ass.
I get the ass is just huge. Jesus criminy. Wow.
Best ass award.
Best ass work, yes. So anyway, long story short, looks like I guess they may be pushing for that as well if he's a part of the distance.
But if he gets in, it's because of family.
Well, we don't necessarily know. I mean, how does anybody get in? Okay, let me ask you this question. In God rest his soul, he just recently passed away. Virgil, and I'm trying to remember his regular name.
Nick Jones.
Nick, okay.
Soul Man Jones.
Yeah, he recently passed away. So it's worth bringing it up. He was a big character when it came to DiBiase. Do you think he's somebody who would get in?
Nope.
Keep in mind, Coco got in.
Nope. Not happen.
What are you thinking, Nick?
I don't know. I'm like, it's weird things that happen, really. I'm like, you might as well. I'm like, he was a character, you know, decent character back then, too. On top of that, he didn't talk, but you know, he did wrestle afterwards.
Glacier was a character too. We're gonna put him in.
I liked Glacier. Don't make fun of Glacier.
He squashed me in the corner one time.
Glacier did.
Good man.
Hurt my ribs for 3 days.
Oh Jesus! Here's something. Speaking of something, okay. Now we're going off topic here, but the Fabulous Moolah, okay, Mary Ellison, her regular name. She looked old as shit. I was watching WrestleMania 3. Oh, my God. I'm not even kidding you. She was old as dirt back then. She was born in 1923. WrestleMania 1 came around in 1985, and she was the champion.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
Do the math on that one.
Yeah. Yes.
And she was the world champion. And she looked like, again, I am no Brad Pitt by any stretch.
That's true.
But what I'm saying is, though, I don't think I've ever seen Moolah look young. I think she came out of the hooch looking at least 40.
It's like Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson was 40 when he was 12.
Yeah, Arn has been older than what he has been.
He's never changed. He's always looked the same since NWA.
For the most part, he has. But, yeah, I can't believe that Moolah. And then, so Moolah was also taking big bumps during the Attitude Era.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with Mae Young.
Mae Young, and she gave birth to a hand. After she had sex with Mark Henry, Let me ask you something, Nick. Do you ever just stop yourself and go, what the hell am I doing? Like, this is just...
I wish I thought of some of this stuff back then.
Oh my God.
That being a millionaire.
That's what I was going to say. We wouldn't be doing this podcast.
This is true. This is damn true. Wow. Is there anybody, either one of you guys, since we're talking about, you know, the Hall of Fame, who should be in, that you look at it and you go, this doesn't make any sense. Why is this person not in the Hall of Fame?
The Killer Bees.
Jim Brunzell and
Blair.
Brian Blair. I tell you what, Brian Blair.
Demolition. Yeah. Well, we all, yeah, that's a political thing.
That's true.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't even think of anyone else at the moment. Anyone big when I was a kid.
Is Luger in the Hall of Fame?
Is who?
Lex.
No, he's not. Hall of Fame? He is not in the Hall of Fame.
Not the line. Right.
Champion. They had the Lex Express. He was a big deal.
That woman was 60 effing 2 at WrestleMania 1. Holy shit.
Let it go, Mike. Let it go, bud.
Good God. When was the Attitude Era? When was the beginning? Was the beginning of the Attitude Era 97?
About 97-ish. Yeah, 97-ish. She came around, what, 99?
Would we say 99? 70?
98? Was she around there?
Yeah, I would say. All right, so let's just put this woman at 23. What are we talking here? She was 76. Jesus
Christ. Oh, that's hot.
She was great. Flaring it up. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was taking bumps something wicked.
But she was, though. Let me ask you something, Nick. It's different. Being in ring shape is way different than just being in shape. Am I correct?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I'm like, hell, I got blown up. That's why I've been going back to the gym for the past 3 weeks now to work on my cardio. You know, it's a whole nother beast in there when you can be in shape all you want. I'm like, you go in there and try to have a 7 minute match. I'm like, you're getting blown up in two. Sorry.
Wow. Unfreaking believable. Unbelievable. So Paul Heyman's going in. We're not really quite sure if we're going to get anybody else. We talked a little bit about people that we think should get in. What about this? And I'm not joking when I say this. I mean this from a serious standpoint. Iron Mike Sharp.
He was amazing.
Yeah, he was amazing. Yeah.
From Hamilton.
Yeah, local. He was a local guy around here too in Jersey.
I mean, the guy had done so much. And I mean, he was a big part, whether or not you went. I don't even think he was a jobber because he got his licks in on people. I mean, he had matches where it wasn't just, hey, he went out there, squash match type of thing. And they advertised him on a lot of big shows as well. So Iron Mike Sharp would not surprise me if he eventually got in.
Now somebody popped into my head.
Dennis Stamp?
I don't think he's going to get in.
He's not booked.
Yeah, he's not booked, so he's not showing up.
Oh, God.
I'm not Barry booked. Horowitz.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
What about Barry Horowitz?
Barry Horowitz. What do you think?
He did a lot for WWE.
He's a big enhancement guy, yeah.
Right? I mean, without the enhancement guys, you can't get nobody over.
Yeah, that's true. This is true. And if you don't have any enhancements, then you don't have the WWE.
Mike uses enhancements for something else, though.
No, I absolutely do. Are you kidding me? I'm not afraid to say that.
Blue Chew.
Oh, God. Let's move on. So the Hall of Fame is one thing. Obviously, we're trying to figure out who's going to be inducting Paul Heyman. And I guess in the few weeks, we'll find out. How many people you think are going to go in? Normally, it's a fairly healthy class. Like 10? 8, you think?
It's a random number popped into my head.
Yeah, lately they've been doing like almost like less than that now. I mean, they've been doing like maybe like 4 or 5, give or take.
They're running out.
And then they do the non-televised ones and stuff like that nowadays. I'm like, they'll show like, you know, Peacock will show maybe the top 3 for like an hour or something like that. And then, you know, then they'll, you know, turn the air. Even though they literally have no time limit of what, you know, what they need to do. I'm like, but. You know, it's the weird thing, too, on top of that, for when they do it, because they do it right for SmackDown.
Right.
literally do it right after SmackDown. They're literally tearing apart the ring and the set, you know. And the scary thing is, Mike, it literally only takes them about 20, 25 minutes. That's the scarier part. You know, to throw the carpet over the canvas, they're taking down the ropes. You know, they're putting the seats up on the staging area and stuff like that, you know, for like all the roster and, you know, and family members and stuff like that. That's insane.
How long does it take to tear down and set up a ring?
They have the whole staff and stuff like that. You know, a good indie company actually has a legitimate staff. You know, it literally should only take about an hour to put a ring up, if that, depending on the size of one.
Wow. And they're going to go up 25 minutes. Jeez.
Yeah. And exactly. They're doing their stage hands and stuff like that. They're just doing that in 25 minutes. But they're only taking the ropes down, you know, at least, and the ring stays up. You know, they're throwing the canvas on there, you know, the little red carpet deal over top of the canvas and stuff. So.
Still, that's quick.
Yeah.
It is pretty good. They got some good production people there. Recently, Bret Hart gave an interview, kind of switching gears here, gave an interview, and he was told that if he turned heel, he could face X, Y, and Z. If he turned, stayed face, he could go against these guys. And it was really interesting what Bret had to say about what his options were, because I didn't expect to hear what he had said, but he made some comments about a departed wrestler, Vader, and he said that Vader smelled like a bag of barf. So let me ask you this, Nick, without naming names, how often do you get in the ring and you clearly can tell someone stinks badly?
Oh, well, without a doubt. It happens more times than really, more so in the summertime and stuff like that, to be honest with you. I think we had a hardcore match one time, and I, you know, we actually perfectly, you know, I called a spot. I'm like, say, dude, grab a thing of deodorant in the back, you know, and just hit the guy over the face with it. You know, it's just a rib, because we all know the one guy stunk and stuff like that. So it basically just popping us. Anything else? I'm like, here, grab this deodorant, roll it on him.
Wow. Like, what, gear stunk or they stunk or both?
A little bit of both. I'm like, you'll have it every now and then. I'm like, there's some guys that just, they'll just won't wash their gear, you know, for whatever reason. I literally have no idea why. You know, once after a show, I'm, you know, next day that stuff's getting washed. You know, even if I don't have a show for like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, in between, that stuff's getting washed right away. I'm like, because I'm not getting all that, you know, mildew and mold and God forbid, you know, on that. That's all I need. And knee pads are expensive.
Wow.
It's disgusting. Wow. You'd be surprised. And nowadays, I'm like, even fans themselves, too. There's fans that smell like they just shit themselves. Yeah.
One of the shows I went to.
Oh wow! Not even body odor, just straight.
Oh, literally just wallowing in their own shit.
Yeah. Last show I went to, the guy sitting behind me and Brandon, it was disgusting. Like, it wasn't like, you know, you're sweaty from a hard day's work. Like, it was, you haven't washed your ass in a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there was a funny tweet actually I saw. It was leading into the pay-per-view this past Sunday, AEW Revolution. Somebody actually put on there, it was like, all right, now that the fans are around the area, you know, around Greensboro Coliseum, somebody actually put up on a map of just, you know, right there is, you know, the Coliseum, of all the places that where you can actually pick up an order online, where you can actually pick up or buy in-person deodorant. And it literally marked off like Walgreens, Rite Aids, Targets, and stuff like that.
It was
hilarious. I'm like, that's your stereotypical wrestling fan, that they literally just wallow in their own feces.
Oh God, you said wallow in feces. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. He had corn the previous night. Okay.
30 minutes. Hey, it took 30 minutes.
Before we bring Jim on here, I do
want Jim's to gonna quit if he's watching.
Oh, what? Jim's are oh shit. Backstage. Here's Jim. Jim's already here. Okay.
Yeah, let him stay backstage. Scroll. Yeah,
Jim, stay where you're at right now. I know you can still hear this. Just yep. There we go. Yep.
Oh, thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Go in the chat room then.
Jim doesn't want to have his contract renewed for this. What I do want to show is
he got a contract.
This part of the show is going to be brought to you.
They probably got hired by AEW because they actually need like relevant referees.
Wow, the heat is on.
Hey, I put him over just now.
And then come.
This is brought to you by Sammy Guevara. Safety first, kids.
Oh, God. All right,
let's go ahead. Do you guys suspended. See the screen?
I see Lumi.
All right, so let's take a look at this.
With the undercarriage. Are you going to show the whole thing?
Oh, is it full screen or what?
Oh, it's full screen on my end, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on the side.
Let's take a look at this. This is Lumi, just in case you're an independent wrestler and you need to wash all of your body parts.
Yeah.
This is the deodorant for everything. Let's take a listen.
Just take a pea-sized amount and apply it like lotion to your privates. Then kiss your stinky butt goodbye.
Mwah. Goodbye.
Ah! No one likes odor below the belt. Whether you're at the gym getting free samples of butt incense, at the office inhaling your own front fumes, or in bed doing some stinky wanky. No, not the gelatin. Your privates go everywhere you go. So why is there
never seen this version?
Now there is with Lumi, the only natural deodorant you can safely use on your private parts. Lumi is clinically proven to eliminate odor all day. And if you're using your privates all day, good for you. Lumi's been proven to control odor for 72 hours. Lumi works by stopping odor at the source, bacteria. Most crotch and butt smells come from bacteria on the skin, breaking down fluids and farting out odor. Lumi stops them from eating so they can't fart. Now they're polite germs.
Hello, governor.
Hello, governor.
I never.
Goodness me.
Lumi was created by OBGYN to be totally safe and effective. It's made with gentle ingredients and only goes on the outside, not the inside. Stop putting things inside. And despite what the douchebags tell you, the outside is where the odor is anyway. Hey, those are mine. You have enough douchebags in your life, Cheryl. Lumi is naturally safe, even for the most sensitive parts of the body, like the ones men can't find. Just take a pea-sized amount and apply it like lotion to your privates. Then kiss your stinky butt goodbye.
Mwah. Goodbye.
So if your junk smells so awful, you're bad at hide and seek, click the link below to try Lumi today. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. No questions asked. No one wants to ask questions about your privates, Jeremy. But don't take my word for it. Here are strangers talking about their privates over the internet for free. Lumi is the best deodorant I have found for those sweaty folds, cracks, and crevices. I applied Lumi yesterday to the groin area, and 24 hours later, I'm still odor-free. Lumi is hands down the best. Wonderful for after workouts or before intimacy. Or both, if intimacy is a workout. And because Lumi conquers
all the audio
private drive, you can use it on pits, feet, or any other stinky crevice.
Oh, her undercarriage.
Okay,
A link to try Lumi today and reclaim your confidence here, here, and here. You'll be able to genital the difference.
Oh,
but actually, you're genital.
What the fuck? Lumi. Why have I never seen this version before?
Yeah, this is Lumi for you.
Is this a real thing or is this a
is legitimate. Lumi's. They actually, there's another one called Mando, actually, which is made for men. On there, you can whip up that. If there's a commercial for that, that one just came out. It's made by the same people.
Please don't.
This woman's actually like a millionaire now. It's amazing. Just off of that, just off of Ricky Crotch.
Ricky
Speaking
Crotch.
Of Ricky Crotch.
Okay, that's it. I'm gonna find some Mando right now. Hold on. Well, let's welcome Jim Molino to the
Jim.
Hey, I'm glad I jumped in when I did.
The ECW refereeing legend who recently announced to the wrestling world that there's been some issues going on here. Jim, tell us how you're feeling and what's going on.
First of all, let me address the Lumi situation.
Oh, beautiful.
Did
you try it already? Is your undercarriage good?
Nick, imagine this. You're in the locker room and there's someone who I'm not going to use anyone as an example, but a wrestler who's big enough that he needs help tying his boots, right?
Because
he's so big. Can you imagine someone coming up to you with the Lumi with a drop on their finger and go, "Hey, brother, come here. Can you help me for a minute?"
Wow.
Wow. Put me on a pole match. That's like a Russo match right there.
Oh,
bro.
God.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. Holy cow. Switch the Lumia
with A535.
Wait a minute, hold on a second here, but let's think about this. If you did offer, if a promoter offered Lumi, do you think any of the talent would actually go for that? Or do you think that they would be insulted? What do you think?
If it was free, any wrestler would take anything for free.
That's so true.
I'm not a wrestler and I'll still take stuff for free as well, right, Buster?
Shocking right there, yeah. Who gave you that t-shirt?
No one. I paid for this because this went to go help out the family. So that's why I bought this.
You should have ordered my shirt that you owe me at the same time.
I don't think that has fully come into play yet. But let's get to Jim here real quick. Jim, what's been going on? You saw on social media. How you feeling? What's the deal?
Like I reached a certain age and I fell apart. I had my wrist operated on and it fully recovered, and probably about 3 days after that, I started feeling some pain in my knee. Oh, this is a Friday afternoon. Started feeling some pain. I'm like, yeah, I'll just, you know, baby it over the weekend, and went back to work. And I did that heat, cold, massage gun, the whole bit. Yeah, Lumi the back of my knees. And I just, you know, took good care of it, or at least I thought I did. Monday went back to my civilian job and no problem. Monday, Tuesday, I'm putting a couple of boxes in the trunk of my car, and they weren't heavy boxes. They were just boxes of envelopes. And I just felt my knee go pop. And I could not put an ounce of weight on my knee. I could not stand. If any of the employees of my client looked out their window, they would have thought I was having a stroke against my car, because I just couldn't walk. I'm leaning up against the car trying to shuffle myself into the car. So ended up went to the emergency room, had it looked at. They did x-ray, no problem with the x-ray, other than they found that I have arthritis. Well, you know, Christ, I'm 63. Of course I have arthritis. They did an ultrasound just to make sure there weren't any blood clots. No problem there. So they said, go to the orthopedist and he'll do an MRI for you. So I went to the orthopedist. I couldn't get an appointment. This was Tuesday, so I didn't get an appointment until Thursday. And he pulled and tugged and twisted and, you know, whatever.
Did you have to pay extra for that?
Yeah. You know, I left him a nice tip. But
just a tip.
Left it on the dresser. So anyway, he said, you buggered up your meniscus and it'll fix itself. Like, yeah, but I can't walk.
It'll fix itself.
It'll fix it. Your meniscus will fix itself. It's like, okay. And he said, but in the meantime, I'm also going to see if we can get you some gel injections for your knee, for your arthritis. So my knee doesn't bother me like bone on, like someone who suffers severely from arthritis with bone on bone. I was like, yeah, okay. So actually he said, you know, I want you to just use ice and start putting some weight on it tomorrow and getting around. So I did that, took the rest of the week off from work, got around the house. Luckily, my house is small enough that if I felt like I was going to fall, I could reach out and grab something to hold me up. And I'm back now working. It's a sore in a couple of places, but I'm walking normal. I did cancel all my bookings for March, my referee bookings for March, just to play it safe and you know, make sure everything's okie dokie. But I start the gel injections, and that's to replace missed cartilage that I don't have anymore. I start that Thursday, and I think that's like a series of three or four injections over like a month period. So it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. That sucks that you had to cancel those bookings because.
Yeah, they were ones I was looking forward to, especially there was one with Mick Foley.
Yeah.
I'd like to have, right. Mick was going to be at the one show. So miss out on that, but you know, we'll run into each other down the road. WrestleCon is next month, so I'm sure he'll be there in some capacity.
Now, will you still be able to be at a booth signing autographs, or is that, how does that work?
I am able to. Let's just say that all the T's haven't been dotted and all the I's haven't been crossed yet. I'll be announcing something next few days, and one thing that we'll be doing will be a very special, hasn't been done before. Maybe it'll be done again. But it'll be something very special one of those days.
So follow Jim on social media if you want to find out the big news that's going to be happening. Definitely.
But if everything comes through, I'm busy from Thursday all the way to Sunday.
Nice.
And not looking to do anything else.
Nice. You know what I've always wondered? Why they haven't gotten the ECW refs together and shoot video?
Yeah, I'd do it.
I think that would be fun as hell. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm excited. I think it's going to be great. I'm happy that you're feeling better because at the end of the day, it sucks to be in pain and that things are going to be on the mend and some news is going to be coming forward that we'll be all excited to hear about. So that'll be good.
And the one thing I can announce, and I think I've said it before, SPO Wrestling, which is run by Johnny Cashmere, be having a show Sunday afternoon, the 7th. I think that's what the Sunday is. It's in Burlington, New Jersey, which is about a half hour away from Lincoln Financial Field. And the first two matches are outdoor, and they're free, and they're both in a cage.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the rest of the event will be inside the fire hall, and pay for that. We'd appreciate it if you pay for the rest of the show. If you catch the first outside matches for free, we'd appreciate it if you pay to come in for the rest. And it'll be done before you can, enough time for you to go to Lincoln Financial if you're going there.
Nice. Before you came on, we were talking about Paul Heyman and being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Maybe I should talk about the other guy instead.
Oh, we were going to ask you. Oh man, I'm batting 1,000 with these transitions here. I'll make this brief and easy. Who do you think would be best to induct somebody like Paul?
Satan.
Yeah. Who I'd really like to see is someone like the world famous Dana Bigelow, or even Mrs. Molyneux in the other room would be interesting to induct Paul into the Hall of Fame.
I'm sure she would have plenty of things to say.
So Dana Bigelow. I put it online. The person I'd like to see induct him would be Brian Gerwitz.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There would be a lot to say there. Wow. Well, the reason why I kind of bring up this is because for a lot of people who, you know, weren't watching, you know, in the early 90s, ECW, I think that some people's first introduction to them was the documentary Beyond the Mat, which was one right. that a lot of people... It was known as the documentary that Vince McMahon didn't want you to see. And it really did surprise me. I believe Barry Blaustein was interviewed recently about the film itself. But when I think of Paul, I think of his legendary speech before the very first Barely Legal.
Yep.
Jim, you were backstage when that happened, correct?
Yeah, I was right there. Don't let him out.
Sponsored by Lumi.
It was ECW's first pay-per-view. If it didn't succeed, neither would ECW.
$17 million homes have availability for this show tonight. Pay $20. Hopefully. With a privilege to see you guys do what you have done 3.5 years. Thank Terry Funk for all he's done for this company. for help putting us on the map. For being selfish and self-denied. For taking the young guys and showing them a better way. Tonight we have a chance to say, yeah, you're right. We're too extreme. We're too wild. We're too out of control. We're too full of our own shit. Or we have a chance to say, hey, fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right. Because you have all made it to the dance. Because believe me, this is the dance. Start the show!
In case you missed it, I was the one handing out the cups of Kool-Aid for everyone to drink.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
Right about there is where you have to step over the puddle of the overflowing toilet.
Yeah.
Was it really that bad of a place?
Oh my God.
Oh, back then it was.
The hellhole.
That was like a state-of-the-art arena. As scary that sounds.
The rats couldn't get out of there fast enough.
The women or the women or the critters?
The ones with tails that live there.
Yeah, it's the women then.
This is what kills me. This is Terry's wife.
He knows what he's doing, but it's still hard after all these years. Just him getting hurt, he's in control, but it's pretty scary.
Is this from Beyond the Mat?
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't seen this in a while. Gotta watch it again.
Remember the first time I saw that, I thought that was you, Jim.
No. John did the main event. I did the triple threat match that led to Terry going against Raven.
All right, so that is the infamous speech from Beyond the Mat. And Jim, you were right there. What was your take of when they were making Beyond the Mat and you were a part of that? Were you in favor or did you think that it was killing kayfabe?
Kayfabe was already dead. So I had no problem with it. I didn't, and I don't think they really did anything to kill it already more than it already was when the movie finally came out. It was a more of a following the various talents more than putting down or tearing down the kayfabe doors. It was about Terry and his long career and his struggles with knee problems and shoulder problems and all that and how to take care of that. It's about New Jack trying to get an acting career going so he could get out of the business. I think it was more important about more focused on the talents of the guys specifically than the business itself.
Nick, let me ask you this. Do you think we'll see a new version at some point of a Beyond the Mat with the indie scene being as hot as it is and a lot of talent going through? Do you think we'll ever see another version of something like that coming out?
With the way social media is nowadays, I'm like, you really don't even need it. You got Dark Side of the Ring basically on there on Vice. They kind of do, they dab into the indies and, other forms of, professional wrestling and stuff like that. So I don't really think there even is a need to redo it because I'm like, whatever you can, I'm like, you can just go right on social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, or, just watch Vice, stuff like that. And so it's all there, nowadays. It'd be cool, don't get me wrong, but there's so many documentaries out there now, about everybody. You don't really even need a version like that. Since there was no social media back in the day and internet was pretty limited, right. Back in when that movie come out, 97? No, we're 99.
99?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. 99. Yeah. So it's 97. Yeah, that's when I graduated high school. Yeah. 25 years ago, basically. So
I think if there is one or something similar to it, the opportunity is probably around the corner if Mick Foley decides to do his final death match.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody picks up a camera and starts following him.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
That'd be entertaining. Mick around?
Yeah.
When it comes to something like that, and we've talked about this on our last episode, but with Mick himself, I mean, I have heard from those who have been around Mick that he has a very difficult time getting around in general right now. So let's say he does drop the weight, which I definitely think he can. It helps, but I mean, if he's so crippled up with injuries and whatnot, don't you think it's going to have to be like a tornado tag or something to the extent of there's going to have to be other things going on, not just a one-on-one?
Well, Nick, you would probably know this better than me because you do more death matches, but there's not really all that much bumping in death matches. And there's not a lot of, you know, backdrops and front flips and, you know, things like that.
No, it's basically just all, you know, it's, you know, what they call walk and talk, basically.
Yeah.
You know, that's literally all it is. It's just, you know, it's just brawling around a building, you know, nowadays, which is, you know, I see where he wants to get at. I'm like, if he wants to do, you know, I could see him doing like no world barbed wire, you know, something easy, as weird as that may sound. You know, on there, you know, I'm not going to see him, you know, getting in there like his old 97 King of the Deathmatch stuff, what him and Terry did with the explosives and the stuff like that. And it'd be out of his mind if he does that stuff.
There were some barbed wire matches in early in ECW when he came in with us that he did with Sandman.
Yeah.
That are pretty good. I could see something like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's in his best interest. I mean, it wasn't in Ric Flair's best interest to do a match. We just recently saw Sting retire. I don't know if you guys got a chance to catch that match or catch the highlights. Either one of you guys or Butzer, did you guys get to catch that?
Yep.
I saw a bunch of clips and stuff like that on Monday morning.
It was very good.
Jim, what did you think? Did you think it was...
Didn't see. I've seen a little... Most of the clips I've seen are after the match.
Yeah,
with his two boys dressed like him through various stages of his career, and actually, I think the only thing I've seen from the match itself is Darby Allin trying to kill himself.
Yeah, the Darby thing was a little crazy.
That bump was ridiculous.
I'm not really quite sure what the thought process is. Nick, let me ask you something. Death matches, all this crazy shit. Is there some things that are done? I mean, a lot of it is for shock and awe, I would assume. You know, it's a spectacle. Do you think that was never intended for Matt or Nick to actually lay on that and then to go through it? It was probably always intended for Darby to do his own thing. Am I probably correct in that?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, there's no way, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm like, if you actually look at, you know, look on the indies and watch some early day PWG with the Bucks, you know, I know, you know, they've dabbed around their hardcore stuff with like thumbtacks and stuff like that, where I think, what was it, they superkick Candice LeRae with a shoe full of thumbtacks. Yep. You know, I saw on that, they've done that, you know, they did the, you know, what was it, the explosive boot. You know, super yes. kick on Moxley, you know, at a pay-per-view and stuff like that. So, you know, they dabbed around it, but I'm like, I, you know, that whole thing was for Darby, basically. You know, that's just his style of wrestling, you know, and stuff like that nowadays. You know, it's I remember, I don't know who, somebody threw him into it. It was an old Evolv show when he was doing the indies still. I think it was up in New York City or something like that, where somebody actually just threw him into a brick wall. Now I'm just... It actually was from there. It was basically got press slammed from the ring. There was actually a wall over there, and it was, you know, it just happened to be brick, and that was it. And it just basically boom, bum. That was it.
With the whenever panes of glass are involved, because that was tempered glass they used at AEW. Is it always tempered glass, or is it?
It better be.
But sometimes you see it looks like it's just like a pane of glass that could be in your window.
Yeah, usually they would actually sometimes, I think they actually stopped selling them at Lowe's and Depot's. You know, they actually used to get like the old Pella panes of glass in like the millwork department, you know, where the doors are. They actually would sell the glass there. You know, I know guys. There was one time at an old CZW show years ago. We used to have a guy, Scrawny Shawnee used to be our head of security. But he would make all the contraptions for the death matches. I'm like, Jim may know who he is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. On there. He actually one time ripped off his patio door, brought it to the show, and took out the panes because they needed two panes for the match. Oh no, it was great.
How did Miss Scrawny Shawnee feel about that?
Well, most luckily she works for the company too. You know, she was their ticket person on her. Yeah, she wasn't very too keen on it, you know, missing a patio door, obviously. But yeah, that's what they needed because I'm like you couldn't get them in Home Depot's or Lowe's anymore, you know, and stuff like that. Now, you know, even light tubes are becoming obsolete, so to speak, you know, in stores like that now. So
yeah. for everybody who's not super familiar, what is the difference between, I guess, what somebody would consider a traditional sheet of glass and tempered? And why is tempered considered the most safe?
That's what actually breaks a lot easier. You know, you get the other ones are like maybe like, you know, quartering stick, you know, I've, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's guys that will even bump on windshields, for Christ's sakes. It's just, you know, insane. But, you know, you don't get the tempered glass. I'm like, if you're getting the other glass, I'm like, it doesn't break properly. And it's going to gouge the living hell out of you, if not, you know.
Yeah, you know, tempered obviously glass blows into little tiny pieces.
It's exactly. That's what happened.
Your table has got tempered glass, little tiny pieces. Versus a pane of glass, a traditional pane of glass, when it shatters, it'll go to shards. They do
come
a 12-inch shard of glass. It doesn't go to little tiny pieces.
That's why a lot of the panes, you know, panes they use them are going to be all tempered, you know, in that aspect.
Well, just in the event that you did get stuck with some shards, or you happen to shard, you can go ahead and use Lumi. It is the deodorant that can be used at any part of your body. It will take care of shards. It'll take care of your taint as well. It's available at the phone number we'll give at the end of the show.
Free is looking for a sponsor.
By the way, when you go through a windshield, you have to when you get into the back, you have to say top that.
Hopefully it was in the opener too.
Oh Lord have mercy. Wow. Oh,
God.
Wow. Butster, I know you wanted to talk a little luchador wrestling tonight, so let's go ahead and throw it to you on that one.
Yeah, no, just curious. There's some of the stuff you hear about, they don't ever take their mask off. Like apparently Mil Mascis has never seen his mask ever. And I'm just curious how it works with the luchadors and Jim and Nick. If you guys ever work with them, how it varies from your more traditional North American wrestling, we'll say, the language barrier. How do you get past that? Just the differences in how it shakes out. Not all at once.
Go ahead, Nick. You work with a lot of luchadors.
I have. It really depends on, like, some of the guys will actually already come to the building masked. Others, you know, will just have like a towel over their head. But come match time, when you're trying to say, hey, what are we, what are we doing for like matches? Sometimes they'll just be walking around backstage with, you know, no mask on. I'm like, well, I don't know who I'm looking for. You know, that's the problem. I'm like, I've never seen them without their mask off. You know, the only dead giveaway is I'm like, oh, God willing that they're coming with, you know, they have their gear on and just not their mask. So I can match things up with that. You know, and stuff like that.
The shortest guys walking around.
That too also on there too, on top of that. But
yeah, you got Webster walking around.
A lot of them, they don't really have a language barrier. They're usually, most of them are bilingual. Like there's some that won't, you know, that don't speak a lick of English. You know, I've had that happen where, you know, I have to revert in the ring and actually count Spanish, you know, for them. You know, that's the hard part sometimes, remembering that. I'm like, oh shit, I got to, you know, change up the language here, you know, and I can only really only count like past five. I'm like, yep, nope, that's not happening. I'm like, if you remember the old Chikara rules, I'm like, they were 20 on the outside. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, please don't go on the outside. I don't want to count you out. I'm like that. And that time I'll just, you know, do it in English, you know.
Did you guys notice that they count in English over in Japan when they're out of the ring?
That no. Should be 20. Should be 20, isn't it?
Well, no, they count in English.
They do count in English, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never noticed that.
Did not know that either, but I just recently watched it because I like to listen to Kevin Kelly. I think he's done a great job when he was working in New Japan. Just a student of the game, very professional. I've forgotten almost all about his Hermie thing and his picking his nose and all the stuff The Rock put him through, which was classic. Again, Brian Gerwitz. But good stuff. I did want to also mention this when it comes to some of the hardcore deathmatch guys. When they see stuff done on TV, do they just think it's a joke? Like when people think it's quote-unquote hardcore, when they ever talk about, oh, my God, did you see what happened Wednesday? Did you see what happened Monday? They thought they were hardcore. Is there any of that going around, or is it basically just mutual respect for each other?
Go ahead, Nick.
I'm looking down at your square. I just think it's mutual respect, so to speak. I'm like, I don't really think it's, you know, can you top this deal or anything like that.
Right.
You know, we keep that on the indies more than anything else. But, you know, I think it's – I just think it's more mutual respect. I'm like, because, you know, you see nowadays, I'm like, that deathmatch wrestling is becoming mainstream. You know, is, you know, you just saw on Sunday, like, you've seen a couple other spots, you know, from other people. I'm like, you've seen Nick Gage on TV wrestle Jericho, you know, and stuff like that, and stab him with a pizza cutter. So, you know, it's more mainstream than people want to, you know, want to think or want to believe. Because I'm like, you know, some of these fans, I'm like, they're so programmed. I'm like, they'll see, you know, they just, you know, just take Sunday, for example, they'll see, you know, oh, you know, that deathmatch stuff is all, you know, what's that? What's Cornette use? What's that term he uses? Outlaw Mud Show.
Outlaw Mud Shows.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. But I'm like, you just saw AEW use deathmatch spots with, for Christ's sake, Sting with a pane of glass in his last match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, enough said. I'm like, but, you know, there's some fans out there who say, like, oh, you know, that was great. That was awesome. But I'm like, you'll go watch deathmatches and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, this is shit. I'm like, but you just, you know, it's basically fans as being hypocrites. Yeah. You know? And that's every fan. I'm like, that's not, you know, just, you know, a strict group. I'm like, it's literally every fan, you know, out there.
No wrestling fans are hypocrites, Nick. I think you're talking fooey here, no?
Well, I must have found it on the internet on there, or like the dark web or something like that. You know, it's, you know, everything on the internet is true, I believe, right?
It's all 100% factual. It's been double checked.
Yeah. That's right.
Meltzer triple checks his information.
And of course, you know, that match wasn't at the Tokyo Dome, so it's not going to get 5 stars.
Okay, we're done.
It's in the Tokyo Superdome.
Yeah, we're done. The limit. We're done. I like Dave. There you go. It's nice meeting you. Man, so much fun having you on the show. Go feed your polar bear. So I wanted to talk about last matches. So obviously, you know, we saw Ric Flair's last match. Did you guys watch that, by the way? You ever actually sit and watch that?
No.
Well, I just saw clips of him having a coronary on the outside or something.
Okay. One night we're going to have to go ahead and just watch Ric Flair's last match together. I'm
busy that night.
I don't think I can make it.
Well, my point that I'm making here is when we talk about people's last matches, which ones, in your opinion, actually probably shouldn't be out there still having their last match? For example, when The Undertaker had his last match, in my opinion, it was beyond time. when Rick had his, it was beyond time. Even though Sting was 64, I felt like he kept up pretty well. But he gave an interview with Sports Illustrated saying that it was very difficult for him at 64 to even do an 8-man tag where he was only getting in for a few moments at a time, and that he couldn't give his best, and that it just, the recovery period became longer and longer in between the matches themselves. However, he still looked good in his last match. Another guy who looked good in his last match was Ricky Steamboat when he had his last match, and I thought that looked really good. What do you think about some of these retirement matches? Because is retirement really a thing in wrestling, Jim? Is that ever, or is it just whoever has the next biggest paycheck to bring me out?
No, there are guys who retired and walked away and never came back. I mean, they'll come back and, you know, do the conventions and maybe a guest referee or something like that. But there are guys who walked away and their matches are done. They know they're done. They know if they do one wrong thing, it's going to, you know, probably cripple them for, you know, whatever reason, whatever ailments they have. You know, a guy who looks like he's still in shape and could probably go. I don't think he did an official retirement match. I think that when he was done, he was done, is Nikita Koloff.
Yeah.
Nikita Koloff looks like he's still in pretty good shape.
He does look good.
And I would think, you know, he would probably have a fairly decent match in him. But, you know, he walked away and never turned around and came back.
He had neck issues, though, didn't he? And not just for TV, but I think he legit had
probably
some neck issues.
But, you know, like you said, you know, I don't think he's come back to do, you know, anything. I don't think he's done anything on television for anyone. I don't think he did anything for TNA or, you know, when he was done with, come back and do something for WCW or WWE or any, you know, any company. Maybe, you know, if Ring of Honor or somebody was, you know, coming through wherever he is in the Charlotte area, I guess he may have come out and, you know, waved to the crowd or guest refereed, but nothing more than that.
Isn't he a preacher now?
He is.
So he is it was born March 9th, which is coming up, 1959. So he's 64. He's going on 65. Are you basically pitching the idea if he wants to, you still got it? What do you think, Jim? Nikita Koloff, would you ref that bad boy?
I'd do it, yeah.
Yeah?
Who do you have him going against?
Well, I mean, maybe we need to talk about that now. So let's talk about all pro wrestlers currently that are at least 60 or older. And then let's try to find out
that one last match.
Yes. And I'm sure you could get great sponsors for all these. I mean, obviously the most obvious one is Geritol, but I mean, Blue Emu could be one. A lot of them could be. I mean, you don't want to go out being a parody of yourself.
Gel injection company.
Yeah.
They have a commercial on television.
Really?
Yeah, with Lee Trevino, the golfer, is their spokesperson.
Beautiful.
All right, these are guys that are 60 or older, and let's talk about this. All right, first of all, number 10, we're never going to see this, Hulk Hogan. I think he's officially done. He did tease wanting to come back and have one more match with Randy Orton. I don't know why that crossed his mind, Randy Orton, because he's more on the Ricky Morton level at this stage. But wow. Hulk Hogan, thumbs up, thumbs down. What do we give that for one more match?
No, thumbs down.
No thumbs down? All right. What happens if he called you up, brother, and said, I want you to ref my last match, Nick Papa G? What do you think, man? How about you come down to Clearwater? We'll talk about it.
Oh God, yeah! Better be giving me trans and flight and everything. Got prepared with 5-star stuff to do that. God, no.
Ask for the money up front.
Of course, yeah. You're wiring me that money right away.
All right, let's talk about another guy who's over the age of 60, and he is Dan Severn. What do we think about Dan Severn? He's over 60. I've seen him before. He don't look bad. You think Dan Severn would be able to go ahead and get in there with Nikita Koloff?
He could probably. I would say he probably would. I think what it comes down to is no matter who it is, that they're smart enough to work around what they can't do and be somewhat impressive. And I think Dan Severn has that kind of style that he, you know, he's not a high flyer. He's not, you know, I don't think he'd be pressed trying to press anybody over his head or anything like that. He's the grappler. He'd get somebody down on the ground and sit on them basically. And, you know, twist their ankle or twist their wrist or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good call. I could see that.
All right, let's go to our next guy in the list who's 60 and over. He is the Native American. Hey.
Tatanka? No.
Tatanka.
God, no.
What about
Tatanka? He was just here not long ago.
No. What do you think? How do you look? How do you look to you?
He's definitely over 60.
Was he at his MAGA rally?
It was a wrestling show here.
Fair enough.
It was not good.
Yeah, he stoops to that level, so I'm like, yeah, I just that goes on next question.
So no Tatanka. Let's go on to somebody else. What about the Godfather? Pimpin' ain't easy.
I'd watch him just purely because I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know if
he'd come out with his hose from the old age home,
the hoe train,
with their strollers and shit.
As long as they're younger. As long as they're new hoes, not the old ones.
No, we don't want the experience.
We don't want hoes from 99.
I'm distracted by NXT at the moment right now. I'm sorry.
How could that be distracting?
Look away from the flashing box.
What are you watching?
Well, they have Regal's kid in the ring, and now Regal actually just interrupted him.
Who's Regal's kid?
Charlie Dempsey.
Well, when a man loves a woman, they get together and
never said happen. How do you make a kid, peckerhead? I think you're all prejudiced right, against Canadians.
Yeah, continue. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about this. What about What about Ron Simmons?
He's good for a good spine buster left in him, right? I think Nikita can take that, right?
Just one more time.
Not one more match. One more spine buster. That's it.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I know you guys have poo-pooed on this idea, but I mean, if you're going to have Mick Foley and you're going to have a death match, there's got to be a way. If he gets this guy into DDP yoga with him and they both drop 100 pounds and they could be ready to do it. I'm telling you, Jim, Abby, one more match.
Absolutely not. No.
Get him out. He doesn't have to get in the ring.
Did we talk about this one before? I did Abby's last match at the arena and they did, and it was against Bigelow. And I think that was his last match at the arena or last, you know, visible match. It was for immediate 3PW. And Abby couldn't even get in the ring. The match never entered the ring.
And 3PW was like 03, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Rang the bell, and the finish was on a table that was leaned up against the ring.
Yeah, no.
And that was in what year?
2003.
Give or take, yeah. That's what I was around, yeah.
And Abby's in a wheelchair.
In the match?
No. Now he is.
Oh,
yes, okay. Freeland. He came to the ring in a wheelchair, and they fought their way nowhere. Well,
stop it! He didn't
put the brakes on and stayed there, stabbing people with his.
That's Luger now. Luger's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, Luger is in a wheelchair. He had a spinal stroke.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I mean, just to skip ahead, if you're doing this in some kind of alphabetical order or what, if you're looking for, and I'm sure he's got to be over 60. For an opponent for Foley, it would have to be Onita.
Onita, yeah.
That's a good call.
Yeah, Pop, yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's mobile.
Yeah, and he's, you know.
And he's still doing explosives. That's the scarier part.
Right. You get his you know, pyro company.
That's
the people.
And so it's here the last time.
Right.
Wow. All right, so moving on from there, I guess we're not really going to be able to figure out who. You know what? What about we put Mick Foley in there with Nikita Koloff?
I wouldn't have wanted to see that. I don't think I would have wanted to see that match when they were both healthy. It's just not a good matchup for me.
Exactly. It's not.
Let's give him Mr. Taco and I call it a day.
Mr. Taco.
Or him too.
Let's go ahead and let's move on to something else that may or may not be. I don't know at this point. I know how to grade this. We recently realized, or we recently heard that our guy who we kind of talked about a month or so ago, Billy Jack Haynes. Now we found out what's going on with Billy Jack. Billy Jack has now been officially. I don't know if he's been indicted or officially charged. This whole situation is sad.
He's been officially charged.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know if anything is going to happen with this because, again, I don't think Billy's well. So I maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if they're really going to be able to prosecute or do anything with Billy. I mean, do I sound crazy saying that, or do you think that it's going to be?
I doubt it. You got to think the last YouTube video or whatever he put out. He sounded off. I'm trying to be PC here. Like he's not playing with a full deck.
Right.
I think you could figure that out pretty quick that he's got some problems. I'm not trying to be a dickhead here, but you know, I think there might be some mental health issues there somewhere.
Well, yeah, I don't know what that means.
And what they result from could be, you know, various things. It could, you know, it could be a lifetime of alcohol or drugs because of wrestling, or it could be, you know, head problems,
CTE,
because of wrestling. It's, you know, there were football players in the past who have tried to hurt their wives or their girlfriends or whatever, and then went out and didn't succeed, but then would go out and kill themselves, you know, jump off a cliff or run their car into a, you know, the back of a semi. So it's not just wrestlers, it's other sports too, but you know, it could be anything from that. The guy had a long career, whether you saw him in WWE for what, 3 years, or you know, but he had a long career in Portland.
He was in New Japan.
He was in Texas. He was in Florida. And they weren't easy territories to work. I mean, they were rough territories, especially Florida, more than Texas. But you know, and I think he probably was in Calgary for a while too. I think that, you know,
I think so.
Stu didn't let you get away with a lot in Calgary. He made sure, you know, looked good.
Yeah.
So I had not actually, hold on one second. I had not actually seen him in quite a long time, to be honest with you. And I just came across this and I wanted to share this with you guys. Let's take a look.
Actually, let me jump in real quick. I'm not defending what happened. I'm not defending him at all. I'm just, you know, thinking as to why.
There's other circumstances involved, whether it's dementia, Alzheimer's,
right?
Like you said before, trauma. I mean, we've seen this with Junior Seau. We've seen this with a lot of other people. So do I personally, and here's what actually was coming out. Evidently his spouse, who is around 14, 15 years older, she was suffering pretty bad from dementia, Alzheimer's. And I guess what his attorneys are saying, it was a mercy killing. He didn't want her to suffer anymore. Again, that's what is being put out there. But when you get to a certain age and you've had a lot of physical trauma, I don't know how well you are and how much you can be considered accountable. Again, like Jim said, not trying to take anything away from the actions, but you got to look beyond that. You have to see, you know, pull the curtain back. But this is what we ended up seeing here.
A former WWE star was in court and has been arraigned in the shooting death of his 85-year-old wife.
Fox 12's Drew Marine, William Billy Jack Haynes' arraignment, and she joins us now live. Drew?
He's facing unlawful use of a weapon and murder charges today after the alleged shooting led to an hours-long standoff with Portland police earlier this month.
Next matter is going to be page 22, line 3, Mr. Haynes.
Former wrestling star William Billy Jack Haynes appeared in court for the first time Thursday after being accused of shooting and killing his 85-year-old wife, Jeanette Becraft, who neighbors say was struggling with dementia. On February 8th, Portland police responded to a shooting at a home in the Lentz neighborhood. They say Haynes was arrested after an hours-long standoff, and then they found a woman, now identified as Becraft, dead inside. Now 70-year-old Haynes used to star in the old Portland wrestling promotion that aired on KPTV and went on to wrestle in what's now known as WWE in the 80s. He and Becraft were known by neighbors as Billy and Jan, and neighbors we spoke with the day of the shooting say they were shocked to hear the news.
A great community around here, a lot of veterans that are in my dad's bed as well, and so was Billy, and I did love him dearly, and we loved Jan as well, so yeah. But yeah, this, like I said, it's a tragedy all around.
Haynes' trial is set for April 11th. Live in downtown Portland, Drew Marine, Fox 12.
So,
and we're back with Mark.
So that was going on there. So it's a tragic story. I mean, you know, we've noticed this. If you're a big fan of pro wrestling, you become accustomed to tragic stories, and it sucks. It really sucks. You know, these guys are my versions of Batman and Superman and all these things. I didn't get into the cartoons. I got into these guys, and regardless of the circumstances, it's part of your history. It's part of your upbringing, now gone, in one way or another. So, it sucks. You know, Batman and Superman don't die because they're fictional people, but these are human beings with real lives, and never gets any easier. But you were going to jump in here, Budster.
No, it's just this bad news bears all around. Like, you know, outside of the fact that the four of us know him because we're wrestling fans and whatnot. But anybody that is suffering any kind of mental health issues at all, whether it be from injuries or abuse or just in their DNA or whatever, it's bad news all around. And your heart kind of goes out to the man, but what he did, it's not right to do either, but I think he was, you know, he had stuff going on too.
Yeah,
and it's just not good.
And if she was suffering from it too, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what I would do in that position. My wife and I have been together for 42 years, and I think I know that if she got into that state of dementia where, you know, she didn't know things or, you know, I would care for her the best I can, but, you know, I would also know that that's probably not the way she wanted to be. So would that thought come across my mind? Could be.
Yeah, it absolutely could.
And if it did, and I followed through, I'll tell you right now, there would be a second shot, and I would be laying right next to her.
I can't argue with that. That would be the same.
Cannot argue either. Before we put a bow tie on this, we'll try to kind of put a positive spin on this. Let me ask you this, either one of you guys, after a long show, you know, the guys hit the showers. It's going to seem a little weird.
Showers?
Yeah, after the wrestling matches, right? After
I mean, the Axe body spray.
No, you know, they got Lumi.
What do you know? Hold on, Jim. Jim.
Madison Square Garden or something.
Hold on a second. Okay, let's go back to
Lulu Temple.
Let's.
Oh God, yeah.
Garden hose out in the back.
Good old Lulu Temple.
Okay, hold on a second. So, you both had to have been at a place where at least there were showers in the locker room, right? Showers. Sinks? Sinks.
Sinks. Okay.
Sinks,
I'll give you Sinks.
Okay, here's my question. Let's say you guys are working a show and there were showers. There was a locker room or whatever for hockey or some sport.
No, hold on.
Follow me on this.
I don't want to follow you to the shower.
I'm not following you to the shower.
That's awkward.
No, all I'm saying is if you realize, hey, you know what? It's been a long night. Would you jump in the shower with the other people? No, it's like football players, right? It's a big open shower area. You, New Jack, let's say.
Just end the show, Mike.
You would never jump. Iron Mike Sharp would spend a lot of time in the shower, right?
He was OCD.
No, I understand that. Jim's not OCD. I'm just saying, Jim's
definitely OCD.
Would you shower at the arena if not the ECW arena, but an arena if it was available to you? Would you take your flip flops and go, "Hey man, woo! What about that match? Here, hand me that. That's my loofah."
No.
Under no circumstances.
Shower at the hotel.
Okay, let's just hypothetically say
I would shower at the arena. Hold on.
If you had to shower with a talent, not with them, but like in the same shower,
would you give me a choice?
Who would you pick?
So what you're asking, Jim? Just so I got this,
I am not asking him anything inappropriate. You are. It is not inappropriate. So I'm just saying.
You're asking Jim.
Quit.
Yes.
What other man he wants to have a shower with?
No.
So I have this right.
No, you have it wrong. It is not a "hey, let's shower with each other" or anything to that nature. I'm just saying, if you had to, who would you feel the most comfortable and not the most awkward with? Who would be somebody you'd be cool with? Like, they're not going to be weird about anything. Everybody
in the
just,
wrestling business. They're not
in the wrestling business. Yes, Jim, you have to get in there.
That's what they call Klinger from MASH. That'd be great.
Would you get in there with Finnegan?
No.
You guys are close.
We're not that close.
Close.
What first happens? Peter. There's
We're
at
five
least,
miles apart right now, and I like to keep it that way.
There's okay. Let's okay. How many shower heads apart do we have to be? Three, maybe. Before it's potentially, I'm just saying if you had to, if there was like one of those things from the ceiling and they dropped something, right, like they did in WCW, and it was like that fake blood, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh God, man, I can't get into the rental car. I'm going to make a mess. I got to go ahead and jump in the shower."
On the rental car.
All right, I'm going to ask it to Nick. Nick, it was a crazy hardcore match at the hotel. Where's that place? They have the awning that's all the different colors in GCW. Have you ever been?
Casino? The Showboat. Yeah, that was the old carousel room in the Showboat, which is actually got converted over to a miniature golf course.
Oh, so they don't even put the shows on in there anymore?
They're still in the Showboat. They're just in an adjacent area in the Showboat now.
Okay, so here's the scenario: you, Schlack, and Nick Gage.
Okay, thanks. That's great. Okay,
so you guys just got out of the ring from the main event. There's glass. There's blood.
Hey, you're lucky
whatever.
You could be in the shower with New Jack.
Well, I did. I thought that would be fine. I thought you were cool with New Jack.
They treat you like Vic Grimes.
Oh my god,
treating him like that crime to the shower with Lumi.
That god, he's got a taser. Oh, a taser.
So what would what happens if the guys are like, "Hey man, we're gonna grab a beer, let's go ahead and let's just get cleaned up before we head out of here. Can I ride with you?" What are you gonna say, Nick?
With them, I'm like, "You're not saying anything between the two of them. They're going to throw you in the shower."
I'm just saying, who would you feel the most comfortable with? Because Butster, okay, let's be honest here. If you played hockey, right? You played hockey.
Well, he's Canadian. What do you expect?
This is true. That's true. And you have been in group showers before, correct?
Yep.
Not a big deal. Everyone minds their own business.
The You're not that, Sing Sing here. I mean, come on.
The people that want to live.
But you didn't. You didn't feel uncomfortable, did you? You're not, you know, rubbing yourself up with soap at Rikers. I mean, you felt pretty comfortable that you were fine, right?
My showers were very quick, Mike.
That's fine, but you still, were there certain teammates that you were like, man, I am not getting in the shower with this dude. This dude is too weird.
Yes.
But other 100%. People, you could still talk about the game, right?
No.
Or would you not even make eye contact?
No.
Okay. All right. Just a fair
Don't
comment.
Look at me. Don't talk to me. Right. Don't come within 3 shower heads of me because you might drown.
Okay.
Would you like to loofah for my stretch marks?
Yeah, loofah.
I just watched that the other day, too. It was on IMC the other day.
I love it. Oh, God.
No, I can't. No. After the games, it'd be you get changed, you get yelled at by the coach because you did something dumb. Even if you did win, then you get a shower real quick. And you're out.
All right. Just asking a question.
If you're in a team shower for more than like 3 minutes, something not right.
Okay, let's turn this around. Mike, what wrestler are you looking forward to showering with?
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, Dave Meltzer.
He wants to shower with Kenny Omega.
5-star shower.
And Meltzer's been replaced by Will Ospreay.
Psychology needed.
I almost heard him say, "I'll take Will Ospreay."
The Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, Mike Freeland pig roast.
Oh, timeout. Really? Pig roast. Thank you very much. So wait a minute. I'm just saying, like, if I was a ref, which I will never be because I can't do it, but if I was in another alternate world and. Because like,
you can't count to 3.
Hey, bruv, you want to go out to the pub afterwards? And all of a sudden, Kenny's right there, and they're like, we're going to get cleaned up and go, bruv. Do you want to get cleaned up? I'm just saying, what a big guy. No, you can
I'll go
ask.
Get the car.
That's a good question. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm just saying, I wouldn't make it awkward.
No,
I'm sure Jerry and Mikey have showered.
You didn't make this awkward at all. This
discussion's been awkward.
Yeah, it has been. You're right. My bad. I should have left it at the Luchadors, but I had to feel like I had to change the subject after we
could have
we talked about
something
Portland.
Better
so,
than
anyway.
This. My God. You should have talked about rubbing Lumi on your taint again or something. It would have been better than this.
No, hold on. I'm going to get some, and I'm going to try it. And
it's
I'm
like
going to be legitimately
bucks.
Honest with you. That's not that bad.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive, actually.
Yeah, and Butt's thinking $20. You can't even buy me a damn T-shirt. You're gonna get some ass soap.
If you only need a drop, it'll last you forever.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need that much. Have you ever seen my parents? I was not gifted in the genetic department. So, I will
still
definitely
shower. I guess
we still
is what
are.
Saying.
Yes, please keep the warm water flowing. All right. So maybe that was okay. All right. Well, let's throw it to here really quick before we go. It's 10:02. We're going to wrap this up. If you had to share a bedroom with someone on the road and it's a double bed.
And one double bed, I'll jump out the fucking window.
The promoter said, hey, listen, everyone's got to bunk up together tonight. Okay. Jim, take us back to 95-96 ECW. Who can't be one of your ref buddies. Who are you deciding to bunk up with in a room?
Francine. Move on.
That's a good call. Like where you're going.
Move on.
Jerry Lynn told me the best person he roomed with was Lance Storm.
Francine over Lance Storm.
Oh, God. All right.
You could be serious for a moment.
Yes. Nick, who is it and why is the correct answer Schlack?
I don't even work for him. I don't even work with him anymore. He's an XPW guy, so my guy Rob Black doesn't really let you work for anybody else in Jersey. So,
who are we? Hey, man, you either go up to this person or they come up to you. So, who are you picking to room with that night?
That's a good question, actually.
There's got to be somebody. There's got to be somebody.
The Booker.
Yeah, where's the Booker? Booker man. Booker man. I need that extra bed.
Oh, God. We had it might this well conversation be. On this show 3 years ago.
We did have this. Yes, we did. We're recycling material right now.
And Freeland's big thing was if we were meeting somewhere for some nature retreat.
Yes.
Foolish.
Oh, God.
Who would you want to bunk with? I get my own goddamn room. Rooms are not that expensive.
Well, I'm just saying, Butcher, you'd room. We could room together. I asked Mikey if we could room together, and I can't even tell you what he said.
Well, I remember what Mikey said.
It would not have gone well.
It was, no. And that's being very, very delicate.
I've shared a hotel room with Mikey where there were 10 of us in the room, and I think Mikey slept in the closet.
Wait, so
there was somebody in the, in the bathtub. There was somebody under the sink.
It was Spike Dudley.
They took the mattresses off the beds and somebody slept on the two mattresses. Somebody slept on the two box springs. Yeah.
Wow. So you slept in a room with 10 other dudes. I'm asking you to pick one guy and it's a big deal.
I didn't say they were all dudes.
Ah, touche. Good way. We will end it on that one. Guys, if you're enjoying the podcast, please go ahead and download the podcast available anywhere fine podcasts are made available. You can also go ahead and hit everybody up on social media. You can follow them. Start off with at Ref Nick Papa G. That's on social media. Right. Yep. Almost. Well, other way.
The other direction.
There we go. We're fine. You can also follow Jim Molino on social media at JimMolineaux. And there's going to be new news coming out. Jim will share with us in the coming weeks, so this should be interesting on that one. And Christopher Butt at GotNoof
22-9191.
If you'd like to continue these conversations, if you'd like to go ahead and get some t-shirts. You can head over to TeePublic, right? TeePublic.
Yes.
And you can go over and search Jim Molyneux. He's got spoofs of all the favorite genres and eras of wrestling. You like Stone Cold Steve Austin? How about Hulkamania? You big fan of that? Well, he's got all of them. Check them out on TeePublic. Go ahead and get yourself a shirt. Do you have any merchandise, Papa?
Can I call you, negative. Can I call you Papa? That would be a negative.
No, that's a negative.
I haven't gone out and down that route yet.
Well, you never know. It could be happening. I would love to see Jim. Here's what I would love to see. I'd love to see an ECW referee's action figures is what I would love to see. I think that would be cool. I would buy that. I think that'd be awesome.
You would not buy that.
I would buy it.
Give you one for free.
Well, if the box is dinged, I would get it for a discount. Anyway, anything else you guys want to share before we say our fairly wells?
Where the hell's my schedule?
I was gonna say, given your schedule, were you looking on the fridge?
Where the hell am I? Where were you at the 5th? I actually March 8th, show called Praying, which is live on IWTV.
Ooh.
This actually Friday night, which is actually going back old school here with a Friday night show with H2O. So live on IWTV 8 p.m. this Friday, or join us live in person in beautiful, scenic Williamstown, New Jersey.
Very nice. Where can people get tickets for H2O over on the
website? You can check on H2O's Twitter, Instagram, at H2O Wrestling, or you can actually hit up Matt Tremont, actually, on his socials. They're probably all Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I think that's what he's got, I believe. At least I know Facebook he does. The other ones I'm not really too familiar with.
Hey, speaking of that, what about Matt Tremont versus Mick Foley?
That's what everybody's trying to pull, actually. He's been wearing the little, 6725 shirt, whatever, on there, which is actually his 60th birthday. So that's how he actually goaded out Onita. So it worked that way.
That would be. How old is Tremont right now?
He's like 34, 33.
Oh, my God. He's that young?
Yeah.
I feel like he's been around for forever.
Yeah. Wow. That's what wrestling would do to you.
Jim, I know you said you were pulling back on the month of March, but obviously there's still going to be a lot of things in the hopper and maybe some big news coming up in the next couple of weeks, correct?
Yeah, just check out my socials. Hopefully, you know, I'd love to say by the end of the week, but I need some people move slower than others trying to get things done. But they're backed up with a lot of things. But sure. Hopefully there will be some stuff to mention for WrestleMania weekend, whether it's at the arena, whether it's at the convention.
The shower.
We'll wait and see. No, it won't be in a shower. Definitely Sunday, the 7th, SPO Wrestling. Check them out. Go to their website. SPO, you're killing me. SPOWrestling.com, and you can get tickets for that event. Like I said, it's in the afternoon, the Sunday afternoon before WrestleMania, so you'll be able to get over back into Philly fast enough to not miss a single bad wrestling match. Oh, did I say that publicly?
Hold on. What is the name of the acronyms for the wrestling company?
It's SPO Wrestling, and it's
SPO.
Superpowers of Wrestling.
You realize if you add an A to that, you got soap?
Back in the shower.
Back in the
can't
shower.
Can't let go of it.
Nope, can't.
Well, you definitely don't want to let go of it if Freeland's with you.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I can't take this from a foreigner. You know what?
No.
We're going to close our borders to you two. Unbelievable.
Jesus.
At least wait till next Thursday when I fly back from Vegas.
Oh, that's right. All right, guys, it's been fun. For Nick Papa G, for Jim Molino, for my good friend Christopher Butt. Continue to follow us on all social medias, and we'll catch you next time on Front Row Material and Front Row Referee.